People say in the world, we need better health care. People say in the world, we need more money. People say in the world, we need lower taxes. What I say we need in the world is more of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I love that verse. God shed his grace on me. And I'll tell you, that's exactly what God has done. If you think about America, if you think about all the things that we have gone through, God has given us grace. He has given us mercy, and he's had great patience. And I pray that he does until the day comes where America does turn back around and become the Christian nation it once was. What a blessing to be able to celebrate our Independence Day. And so today we have a special guest. So Zach and his wife are going to come and be able to share a little bit with us about the great church plant that they're planning in McPherson, Kansas. This is a great thing for our state. It's a great thing for us as Christians to see other people brought to Christ. And so we're going to hear a little bit about them. We're going to find out a little bit about the mission that God has put on their heart and figure out a way that we can help support them to see people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Zach a round of applause for his wife, Alicia.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do you mind if I stand down here? Can you guys hear me?
Sure. You guys good?
Do I need to stand up to the recording?
Okay.
I love this, but I can't see your beautiful faces.
we'll stand here and I'll speak loud. So Mission 620, our church plant to McPherson, Kansas, is where we're heading. And we're excited about what God has called my wife and I to do. And so we're going to read a little bit of scripture here, and we're going to talk about it, and we'll read some more scripture. So Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 is where we'll be at this morning. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. As you're making your way there, I just want you to understand this morning, as many of the things we'll be reading and talking about, I want you to reflect on your own life and how you can apply these principles to yourself. And as you're thinking about how you can apply this to yourself, I want you to think about how you can apply it to your church, your body of believers. All right, that's the goal this morning. Is everything we're going to be talking about, yes, is going to be some specific to McPherson, Kansas, but majority of it will be applicable to your life and how you can follow God and his mission. And so Romans chapter 10, verses 13 begins as this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But then Paul comes with a question here. In verse 14 it says, "How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we just come before you, Lord, with thankfulness. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for sending those to preach the good news, that I may be able to partake in your word, Lord. Father, we thank you for this country, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to have the freedom to serve you and to worship you in the open, that we don't have to go down in our basements and whisper, and we don't even have to just stand there and just sit there in silence and think about your words, God. We get to loudly proclaim the goodness of Christ, and we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, as we think about your word, and we think about the mission you have called us, Lord, how can we take the gospel to the outermost parts of the world? And so that everyone can have the freedom to worship you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Mission 620 is simply the area code of McPherson, Kansas. And so it is our church plant, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But next slide there, I wanted to share about who we are. This is our fourth year anniversary pictures. We were talking about ticks this morning, and those pictures, I pulled off about 8 ticks after I got done with that. The things you do for your wife, right?
Amen.
And so, I never complain about them when I go deer hunting, but, you know, I take pictures. And so, I've been
I got saved when I was 17 years old in Wellington, Kansas. Zane Brooks, some of you are probably very familiar with Brother Zane. I got saved in his church when I was 17 years old. I never really went to church when I was younger. My dad, he shared about who Jesus was. He always told me, you know, you got Jesus on one shoulder, and you got Satan, the devil, on the other shoulder. Which one are you listening to? All right? And so we went to a Catholic church with him when I was younger. My mom took me every now and then, but never really was in church. And my father passed away in 2002 with a major heart attack. I was 8 years old, and I was living in Arizona at the time. That's where I was born. And my mother, through a long story and circumstances, brought us to Wellington, Kansas, where she was born. And she brought us there and never grew up in church, never did anything. And my junior year of high school, I got saved. My mother at the time had a brain aneurysm. My sophomore year of high school, that put her in a nursing home for the rest of her life, and she ended up passing away in 2013. And so, with confidence, she knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. So, I'm looking forward to that great reunion day. Amen.
Amen.
So, I attended Randall University, Hillsdale, Real Baptist College at the time. And it's one fall evening, I answered a call into ministry. By that time, I was already preaching and already teaching lessons and all that, but I never surrendered into going into ministry. And I don't know how many of you read the letter out there from Randall University, from the president. It's on your bulletin board. I think I'm going to sue them to get all my tuition money back. But they use a phrase, I had a paper I wrote I just graduated this past May, praise the Lord. But for some of my work I had to write about the mission of Randall University and how it impacted me. And so I went to Randall University expecting to get my exercise science degree to go be a physical therapist. But one night God spoke to me about, you know, the Word of God is there for reproof, for correction, for teaching. And it says in, you know, 2 Timothy that to entrust unto others to preach the gospel, to disciple. And I just felt a burning sensation and just a passion to go and preach and be in ministry. And so that one fall night at Randall University, I answered a call in the ministry. And instead of physical healing, I'm looking towards helping people spiritually and find spiritual healing through Jesus Christ. And that's what I do. That's what I love. And so my wife, a little bit about my wife, she's been attending church since she was knee-high to a grasshopper. And so she's been in church her whole life. And he's like, he's from Chicago. He's like, what is this southern terminology? That's a new one.
There you go.
I spent some years, I'll get into that here in a sec. I spent some time in Arkansas, so we'll get there.
That's where it came from.
We'll get there in a sec. But she accepted Jesus Christ when she was young, and she's been in church her whole life. She has four sisters, three older sisters and one younger sister. And so there's five daughters. Bless her father. I had two older sisters and I lived with, and I thought that was rough. But man, five daughters. And so, that's her family. She loves her family. They're very close. They're still close to this day. And they love to do things. She has, 11 nieces, or is it 10 right now? You have 10 nieces and 2 on the way, right? It's hard to keep up with all of them. So we have 10 nieces and nephews right now, with 2 more on the way. That's just from 3 sisters. And so, have a big family. We love her family, and she loves her family, and we know the closeness of family. Well, my family wasn't so close. We weren't really that close. I love my sisters. Love them to death. I'd do anything for them. But we're just never really that close. And so I understand from one side of the spectrum of how close family is. My mother, she works second or third shift, so I never really got to see her growing up. And so I understand, you know, just kind of just doing whatever I wanted to. And Alicia was on the other side of the spectrum where she couldn't blink without her mom and dad knowing. And so, you know, there's 2 different sides of the spectrum, and so we understand what family is all about. what we expect in a family. I know the heartaches of not having parents around. And she knows the heartaches of having parents around. She knows the joy of having parents around. And so God has brought us through two different circumstances of life and showed us how, you know, many aspects were totally opposite people, but he's brought us together to be able to find and help people find spiritual healing in Jesus Christ. So we got married on April 26th of 2014, and a month later, we moved to Atkins, Arkansas, a town of about 3,000 people, when you count all the goats and chickens and dogs and cats. And so we moved there. We didn't know anybody in Atkins, Arkansas. A week after we got married, we haven't even gotten our honeymoon, and we went to view the calling in Atkins, Arkansas. And so it was, God moved us there. We stayed there for a year and a half, and God did some amazing things in our life and in the life of the church. And we just felt awesome, and we've learned some terminology, you know, like country mile. There's some other things I can't repeat because it's in Arkansas. And so so we had a great time. And then God moved us to Mulder, Oklahoma, and there's about 3,000 people counting goats and chickens and dogs and cats. And so we moved there. That's over by Fort Smith. And see, my wife, she loves her family, right? And God was pressing us to move closer to family, because we were 5.5 hours away from the closest family member and just married. And it was tough, especially for her. For me, it wasn't that bad, because remember, I was used to being away and doing my own thing. And so she said, I want to get closer to my family. So I said, we'll go 10 minutes in Oklahoma, because I'm not getting any closer to your father-in-law. No, I'm kidding. I love her dad. I give him a hard time. And I love her parents. And so we moved closer. We were 3.5 hours away from the closest family member. God did great things in Mulder, Oklahoma. We were there for a little over 2 years, and we just moved back to Kansas, to Mulvane, Kansas, the week before Memorial Weekend. And so we were one step closer to getting to McPherson, our destination. And so that's a little bit about us. We, all I say all that is because we felt like we've been on the mission field. We felt like we've been in Arkansas, which is a whole other country in itself. And so we felt like we were in a mission field, not knowing anybody. When we moved to Muldrow, we didn't know anybody. And we're moving to McPherson. We don't know anybody. I know one person. Her name's Tanya. Yes, Tanya. She works at a coffee shop there. The only reason I know that is because my aunt's name was Tanya. So I remember that. So I know one person in McPherson. And so we feel like God has placed us at a time as this to go to the mission field and do that. Next slide there. So here's McPherson, Kansas. I took this in April. I took this picture. Anybody have a drone? Anybody own a drone? You don't? They're awesome, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great.
They're amazing. I encourage you to go to Best Buy and buy you one after this. I took this picture at the park there, and a beautiful town. Very, very beautiful. There's 13,500 people, roughly 13,500 people that live in McPherson. And so 13,500 people, that equates to about at least 6 more churches being planted. They're like, well, how do you get 6 churches? Well, I just generated on the computer and it came up 6, and that's where we're going. That's how we did it. So think about this. There's about 20 to 25 evangelical churches in McPherson, Kansas. And so let's do the average attendance of 200. Now, we know there's a couple churches in McPherson that are probably 400 or 600 people, maybe even bigger. And then there's, you know, churches with 10 or 15 people. And so let's just make easy math, because I grew up in Wellington. Our math department was horrible. And so easy math, 200 people, average attendance at 20 evangelical churches. Anybody do good math? How many people? That's 4,000 people. There's 13,500 people living in McPherson. And so let's just add the number up a little bit more, and there's, you know, 25 churches. You know, just give a couple more thousand people that are being reached by the existing churches in McPherson. They're only reaching 6,000-7,000 people at the most. There's 13,500 people that are not being impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we say at least 6 more churches, minimum of 6 churches needs to be planted in McPherson, which is crazy to think. Rural community, Kansas. The buckle, you know, on the, not the buckle, but the other side of the belt of the Bible belt, right? The blue, the notches. And so, you know, it's hard to fathom, and I talk to people who, you know, I just spent 2 weeks in Chicago this month on a mission trip, and there's 2.7 million people, you know, and we talk about the numbers, and they have a hard time thinking, well, rural community, there's churches on every corner, there's people, you know, they don't need any more churches. Well, McPherson needs at least 6 more, because there's people dying and going to hell. And so we need at least 6 more churches. At least 6 more. I'm going to say a few numbers here, and I'm going to say the number, and then I want you to repeat the number, okay? So I'll say it, and we'll all say it together, right? So the first number is 1,300. Say it with me. 1,300. Say it one more time.
1,300.
Roughly 1,300 adults are divorced in McPherson campus. Roughly 1,300 families being separated, being destroyed. Second number is 40. Say that with me.
40.
40.
Say that one more time with me.
40.
40.
Roughly 40 children are in the foster care system in McPherson. You know, and I started thinking about these numbers and trying to figure out why these numbers? Why is this happening in McPherson? But not just in McPherson, why is it happening in Emporia? Why is it happening, you know, in Wichita? Why is it happening all around this world? Why are families being divorced? And why are children going into the foster care system? I started pondering this question. Well, we see in the beginning of creation, right? And the creation week, we see God on the 6th day, what did he do? He created mankind, right? Well, during that same time, God created marriage, right? So on the 6th day, God created man, Adam, out of the dust, out of the dirt. And then after that, he created Eve out of Adam's rib, right? He said, the two shall become one, right? The two shall become one. So he instituted marriage. He instituted family on the 6th day of creation. The 6th day of creation. He created family. And so, Satan is a pretty smart guy. He's pretty smart. And so he says, if I can get people away from Jesus, get people away from God, I think if I can go all the way back to the beginning and destroy family. Destroy the thing that God created to be one of the most holy institutions of mankind, marriage, family. If I can destroy family, I can get people away from God. And we're seeing that. We're seeing 1,300 adults divorced. 1,300. It's crazy. That's 10% of the population, but you know, not the whole population. Not 13,000 people are married. And so that number, I think, equates to being about like 30% of the adults that are married are divorced, or that were recently married are divorced. That's crazy. That's hard. And so our goal, remember, is to go and allow people to find spiritual healing in Jesus Christ. Either mend their marriages or give them a hope and allow them to seek forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that is our goal. So 1,340 children in the foster care system. So this one last number, I want you to say it with me. 5,000. Say that with me.
5,000.
Say that one more time.
5,000.
5,000 plus people who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The last census, survey they did, I believe it was in 2016 in McPherson, was that 5,000 plus people didn't even believe that Jesus Christ even existed. didn't even exist. He was never walked on this earth. And so we can then say there's 5,000 plus people who do not have a relationship with him. But how many of you know someone in your life, a friend, a family, a coworker, a neighbor, someone who says, I believe in Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus? Most of us probably know someone. You know, the demons believe, right? But the demons don't have a relationship with Jesus. And so, there's a correlation I want to show you this morning. Remember the 20 to 25 evangelical churches only reaching about half? Well, the 5,000 number, then we could probably add another 1,000 or two of those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. There's about half the community who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because there's only 20, 25 churches reaching those people. The amount of churches there can only reach half the people. That's their capacity. They cannot reach any more. And so we need more churches. And we could probably run the numbers here in Emporia as well. And we could say we need more churches in Emporia. We could run the numbers definitely in Wichita and definitely in Kansas City. And we could say there absolutely needs churches there. You know, so it's crazy to think about these. And so we need church planting is part of God's mission. Going across seas is part of God's mission. The planting churches and reaching people. And it's also strategic. I want to share about the strategic location of McPherson. My prayer, God's put this passion on my heart is to plant more churches in Kansas. You know, as anybody knows, our Free Will Baptist work in Kansas, as of now, there's only 9 Free Will Baptist churches in our state association. There's a total of 12 Free Will Baptist churches in Kansas. And so, it's hard to think. You can go a state south, and there's over 200 Free Will Baptist churches. 10 years ago, there was over 300 in Oklahoma. There's tons in Missouri. I don't know the number. There's tons in Arkansas, but there's only 12. One state away of bordering 3 different states that have over 100. All 3 of them, I think, have over 200 Free Will Baptist churches. There's only 12 in Kansas. So God's given me a passion to plant more churches, Free Will Baptist churches in Kansas, because I believe in our denomination. I believe for what our denomination stands for. I believe we are, you know, part of God's mission. I believe what we believe about the Bible and who God is. I truly believe in our denomination. So God has given me a desire to plant churches in Kansas. Well, McPherson is strategic in that. You go about any direction, you're off a highway somewhere, and you're about an hour away from the next town. You're an hour away from, Hutchinson. You're an hour away from Hayes. You're an hour away from a lot of places that we need to plant more churches. And so that's strategic in that sense. So, next slide there. I call this the cycle. So it starts with our vision, it goes to our mission, our plans, action, success. You know, like a wheel, right? How a wheel works is, you know, you got to get momentum, right? And the harder the downturn, the faster the wheel turns and comes back up, right? That momentum, that force. And so it all begins with our vision. Without vision, people perish, right? And so our vision comes from the Word of God. And so our vision is to make all aware of Jesus Christ. Remember, there's 5,000 plus people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is existing. And so our vision is to make all of them aware of Jesus Christ. So that is our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our outermost parts of the world. So our McPherson, our Kansas, our United States, and our outermost parts of the world. That's our vision, is to make all aware of Jesus Christ. And so that's our vision, be a church planting church. That's who we want to be. We want to be a church planting church. We never want to stop planting churches in Kansas, at McPherson, in Kansas, in the United States, in Japan, in China, in Africa, wherever it may be, God calls our church planting church. We want to be a church planting church. So that starts with our vision. Then our next step is our mission. Our mission is to teach, equip, and train disciples. Teach, equip, and train disciples. Many times in our churches, we get people saved. We evangelize. We're good at evangelism. Some of our churches, right? We're good at outreach. We're good at evangelism. We're good at getting people saved. And then we go, high five, good luck. And we send them on our way. We forget about this aspect of discipleship. And so we need to teach, equip, and train disciples to learn how to evangelize so they can reach their neighbors. Because I don't know, well, any of you, really, right? I met Alan in April. And so my job, say, if I came here, how many people do you know that live in Florida? You can say probably a couple hundred at least. I mean, 100 really people that you could go right now and probably share the gospel. I'm sharing it with, you know, 50, 60 people that are in here. You know, that's my job would be to teach, equip, and train you to go to your neighbors, to go to your coworkers, to go to your families. And so I know one person, Pepper McPherson, named Tanya. She works at the coffee shop. She owns a coffee shop. Hopefully I get some free coffee. No. My goal would say, just for use of her example, would be to teach, equip, and train her to go and reach out to McPherson in Kansas and now in those parts of the world. Because you know a lot more people than the pastor does. It's not the pastor's job to evangelize and to disciple everybody that they come in contact, that you come in contact. Jesus has called you to go preach the gospel. He's called you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how beautiful will your feet be when you do so? And so it's not just me proclaiming the gospel. It's not just Brother Al proclaiming the gospel. It's you proclaiming the gospel. It's you to teach, equip, and train others to be disciples of Jesus Christ. As Jesus discipled the 12, the 11 in return went and discipled others. Right? It's that inner 12, that inner 3, it's that what Jesus showed us, that model that Jesus showed us. That's what we need to do. That's our mission, is to teach, equip, train disciples so that they can go teach, equip, and train disciples. That they can go to teach, equip, and train disciples. And it's that revolving cycle there. And so, be disciple-making disciples. That's who we want to be. We want to be disciple-making disciples. And so, that's our mission. So this next part comes our plans. Right? We've got to have plans. So before I get to that, our vision and our mission is written in ink. It's written in pen. That never changes. But our plans and actions do. Right? So those things change. You know, as God speaks to us, as things, circumstances change, those things change. So they're written in pencil. Alright? And so here's our plans. So I shared about Mission 60, what it means, right? It's the area code of Kansas. Well, it also means something different. So the 6 is Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Deuteronomy 6 is talking about how parents are to be the disciple makers for their children's life. It's talking about family discipleship. D6. How many of you heard of D6? Curriculum, Sunday school curriculum. Maybe some of you. So D6 is about family discipleship. Again, it's not my job. I was a youth pastor for 4 years. It was not my job to be the sole disciple maker of every student that comes into my youth group or my children's church. My job was to equip the parents to disciple their children. There's a deal with D6. They talk about it as 1 over 168. So there's 168 hours in a week. Now, one of those hours is the average time someone spends in church a week. 1 hour. A student spends 1 hour, maybe in a youth group or a Sunday morning service, Usually not both. Usually it's one or the other. Spend 1 hour a week in church, in discipleship. And they spend more time with their family. How many hours do they spend with their family on average? You know, maybe 20 throughout the week, or maybe 30 or 40. You know, after you count in school and you count in sports or after school activities. So parents still have 20 times the amount of opportunity to disciple their children. And so it's a great tool, it's a great understanding of saying, hey, it's not my job. It's not the church's job. It's the parents' job. So six. Deuteronomy 6. So we're going to be trying to reach families. That's our goal, is trying to reach families. You know, that question is, well, what if they don't have children, or what if they're not married? Well, my question to them is, do you want to reach families? Do you want to reach families? If their answer is yes, come help us. Come help us reach families. And then they also say, you know, I'm not part of the family. I said, well, become a follower of Jesus Christ, and then become part of the family of God. Right? Amen? And so, Deuteronomy 6, the 6, 2 is evangelism. Jesus sent the disciples out into twos to go into the towns, prepare the towns for Jesus to come in, and, you know, see how, if they're ready for the gospel, and see, you know, prepare the way type deal. And so we as well will send out twos to their neighborhoods, their, you know, their jobs, and so on and so forth. That's our goal, is send out twos. God has called my wife and I as two people. Yes, we are also one. And so we are looking for another family, another couple to come help us plant the church in McPherson as, and maybe, you know, a family pastor or an outreach pastor or wherever God has called them to, and their strengths, and use their strengths and their calling to come help plant us, plant with us. So we'll be praying for that. So that's evangelism. So our plans are to reach families, and our plan is to evangelize, right? Start a church. You've got to get people saved. So there's our plans. And so what are our actions? How are we going to do these things? I'll get to the zero side. So I'm religious for like, got one. Get there. So our actions. Our actions, we would like to get into an elementary school. Have a services to rent out an elementary school. And have services and, you know, in their gym or wherever, you know, we can have it at. And just love that school. Love the staff, love the teachers, love the students, and love their students' family, their parents, and just, you know, my dream would be to provide school supplies for every student, elementary student in McPherson. My dream is to provide Christmas presents for every student in elementary school. My dream would be to provide Thanksgiving or Easter meals for every family in every elementary school. That's my dream. That's a passion that God has given me. So, you know, that's a huge prayer, and I ask you to pray with me on that. You know, so our goal is to get an elementary school and just love that school. And hopefully we maybe plant more churches and, you know, encourage other churches that are in there to do the same thing, and that we can just take care of all of our schools in McPherson. That's my dream, to love people. It's funny that we see Jesus. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll stop. That's coming. So that's our actions. That's who we want. That's kind of what we want to do. And there's so many other things I could talk about what we think about doing. You know, getting to the fairs. You know, barbecues in the park. We're Free Will Baptist, right? As the saying goes, preach the word and eat the bird. Right? And so I like to eat. So we'll have some barbecues. You know, there's some things like that, outreach that we'll do. Again, those are written in pencil. Those will change as things happen when we get there, and we'll start figuring that out. But that's our actions. So we have our vision, we have our mission, we have our plans, we have our actions. And so if we had enough force and we did that with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we did it what God has called us to do, we got that momentum going, we put that downward turn, we try as hard as we can, hopefully we'll get up to success. And prayerfully, we will get to success. So what is success? So we have the 6, we have the 2, and success is 0. Anybody on a business? Anybody in here on a business? We got one, Anybody pay bills? About all of us, right? Yeah, I got two hands up here. So after you're done paying your bills, right, you're filling out the checkbook, you know, bouncing out the checkbook, you know, we're doing your stuff, and all of a sudden you have zero at the end. That's not good, right? And hopefully it's not negative and with the other numbers, right? So zero is not good, usually. So how can we say it was zero? So, you know, zero would be bad in this sense that we do our first service and zero people show up. That's not success. After a month of being there, there are zero people being saved. That's not success. So what is success in this? Well, in 2 Peter, it talks, there's a verse of scripture that says that none shall perish, but all come to repentance. That none shall perish. To make all aware of Jesus Christ, and that all will have find spiritual healing through Jesus Christ. So that there will be zero lost people in McPherson. Zero lost people in Kansas. Zero lost people in the United States of America. And zero lost people in the outermost parts of the world. That is success. We will never stop with our vision. We will never stop with our mission. We will never stop putting action plans and actions into place until we reach zero. Zero lost people. We got a huge job to take. Huge job. But I believe if enough people listen to Jesus, enough people get out of the pews and get out into the streets, the highways and the byways, and start proclaiming and start, you know, preaching the good news with love and compassion, we can see and find success at a zero. It's a huge goal. I believe we can do it. Zero lost people. So, next slide there. There's our cycle. And so I want to talk about partnership. So partnership. So there's three different ways that you can partner with us. First one is prayer. One of my favorite quotes that I have is, prayer is not a spare wheel which you put on in time of trouble, but it's a steering wheel which you hold on to directing every aspect of your life. One of my favorite quotes. I wish I would live up to that more and more. But I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for people praying for me. But one of the people for, like, Brother Zane praying for me. And so, will you pray with us? Will you pray with us as we, you know, travel around, do what we're doing this morning to many other churches? Will you pray with us as when we get to McPherson that we can make an impact and we'll love people? Will you pray for us as we achieve zero? Will you pray with us? One of the ways that you can do that is sign up for our newsletter, which we'll get a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for after service. You can sign up for our newsletter. As of now, we're doing an email newsletter because it costs about $400 to send letters out. And that's a lot of money on weekend at barbecues and park. So, so what we're doing right now is doing electronic through your email. So if you want to sign up, your name, email. But we'll also send a newsletter to every church that we attend. So we will send a hard copy newsletter to every church. So that'll be every other month is what we're doing right now. That might change when we get to McPherson and we have more things to update people with and, you know, share all the stories about what's going on. So that may go into a monthly thing. But so that's the easiest way to find out for a prayer request. Follow me on Facebook. Friend request me. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, but I really don't do much on there. So I do post pictures on Instagram, but yeah. So Facebook's probably the easiest way. So there's one, pray. Two, go. There's two aspects. 2A on goal is a mission trip. You know, you guys are not too far away from McPherson, so if anybody likes to eat and wants to do a barbecue in the park, come on with us. We'll have a barbecue, you know. If we're doing a school supply drive, you know, come help us do a school supply drive. You know, there's many things that we can do. You know, whatever God's placed on your heart that you want to do, you know, call me and say, hey, God's really been speaking to me about doing this event. Would that work? Would that work? And, you know, we'll try to find the best way possible to make it work. Hey, they have a lot of festivals. If you guys want to come sell kettle corn, you know, raise some money, you know, we'll have a tent next to each other and we'll hang out and we'll have some fun. You know, I'm an otter. I don't know if you guys take a 5-minute personality test. The lion, otter, golden retriever, beaver. Some of you are familiar with that. I'm an otter and a lion. So, otters, fun fact, this is free this morning. You know, otters, they're laying in the water and they have rocks on their stomach. A lot of people thought they were eating it to help their digestives. They're not, they're just playing. And so, I like to play and have fun. So, come hang out with us. We'll have fun. So, go. Come to McPherson and hang out with us. 2B is we're praying for families to come to McPherson and help plant a church. And so, if maybe you, God is calling you to step out of your comfort zone, or maybe you know someone that would love to come with us to plant a church. We're looking for families and praying for families to come with us. Maybe you have family that lives around McPherson. Give me their name and number. I've had many people give me their family's contact information, and I promise you I will give them a call and visit them and see about if they want to help plant a church. And so, there's going, praying and going. And the last aspect is my giving. Did anybody not receive one of these? Everybody, if you haven't received one, will you raise your hand and we'll get you one. I'm sure everybody gets one of these. Got some over here on the left side. So, this is a faith promise card. So, North American Ministries is our national Free Will Baptist church planting agency in North America. And so, that's who we're planning with. That's our lead agency that we're going through. So, North American Ministries, some of you may be familiar with Home Missions. They used to be called Home Missions, but they retitled their name to North American Ministries. And so, faith promise. A faith promise commitment is an agreement between me and God. As He provides, I will be personally involved in fulfilling the Great Commission by helping plant others and plant churches in North America. And so that's our a faith promise commitment, a faith promise, or a thank you. That's what a faith promise is a thank you. And what that means is, there's two different types of people in missions. There's the goers, and there's the senders. I'm a goer. I'm going to McPherson. I never lived there. I don't know anybody there except one person. I'm a goer. But maybe you are a sender. Maybe you're not a goer. Maybe you're a sender. And that's your gift of thanks. Say, thank you for going. And I promise you, as a goer, I'll give you a thanks back. And my way of giving thanks is I will do my utmost best to follow the vision and the mission that God has given us. I will do my best to serve God with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is my thanks back to you. My thanks is to help proclaim the gospel. And as a sender, what greater opportunity is to put riches in heavenly places, to invest in things that are not of this world, but things that is going to have eternal impact. One of the greatest opportunities for us to do that as senders. So the other side is the faith promise commitment. As God faithfully provides, I commit to give toward the support of Zach and Alicia Parent. Please, payable monthly amount, check below. So there's another aspect to this, Mission 620. So every place that we go to, we're looking for two individuals and two groups in the church, maybe a Sunday school class or a youth group, children's church, whatever, to partner with us at $6 a month. We can partner two people, two groups at $6 a month will help us achieve zero. What is zero? That's zero lost people, right? So that's what we're looking for. So maybe you're a zero or $6 person. Maybe, hey, I could do $6 a month. Maybe I could do $12. I can take care of Husband and wife say, hey, we'll do $12. We'll take care of our two right there. I know a few other people, we'll do $24 a month. Maybe we'll do $100. Whatever God has called you to do, you do it. To invest in things that have an eternal impact. One of our prayer requests that we have is, we're getting down. We started this in March, going full time. And our goal is to be in McPherson by October. And so we're hitting to our end of our, hopefully our timeline. So there's kind of a sense of urgency. So we pray for us as, people will partner with us. And the way I think of a partnership, a lot of people think of just giving money, calling it good, get my newsletter every month or every other month. What I like is partnership is saying, hey, what about this? Would that work? That's what we're talking about going and partnering is I want you to be prayerfully partnering with us. Having the opportunity to go with us, but also having that financial partnership as well. And so, print your name, address, city, email. You can also put your email there if you want to do the newsletter as well. Actually, let's do this morning. I know I'm confusing it. Is for your email, if you want to sign up for the newsletter, just fill this card out with your name and email address and just mark on there newsletter only. And so I'll get confused. And we'll all just take care of this there. You can add a check to this, void a check. We'll draft it each month. Maybe you're like us. Well, actually, we just got a new bank account, so we have new checks. Kind of crazy thing. But we don't really carry checks. So maybe you're like us, well, you know your checking account routing number. You can also write it on there. If you're also like us, we like to do online bill pay and stuff like that. You can go online and set up online to give as well. And if that's something that interests you, just come to me after service and we'll show you how to get hooked up with that. But if you want to attach a void check, you can, or you can write your routing checking account number. And at the end of service, I'll be out there in the foyer to pick these up, and you can drop them off. And so, I want to finish up with this. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. My Bible titles this passage right here, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." This is interesting. This is where I was jumping ahead earlier. Jesus went to every city proclaiming the truth, 100%. But he was also 100% healing, serving, loving people with compassion, with tangible things. See, many times in our churches, we think it's one or the other. That if we serve someone, we give out free food, or we do this, we forsake the truth. Or sometimes we say so much truth, and that's all we do, and we forget to love people and serve people. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did both. He loved people in a tangible way, but he loved them in an eternal way as well by proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming that he is coming to die for their sins. So we can do both. It's not one or the other. We can 100% give truth and 100% love and serve. And so he did that. And then verse 36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." I'm going to ask our musicians to come. My question for you this morning is, are you a true partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you a true partner? Again, in Romans chapter 10, it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel." What is the word preach? We think sometimes you have to stand behind a pulpit or in front of a pulpit. No, preaching is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the gospel, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching is not someone who just has a degree who went to seminary. Preaching is someone like you. I pray and ask the question is, how beautiful are your feet? It's a crazy question to think. How beautiful are your feet? Have you became a true partner in the gospel? Have you proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because it starts in our own homes. You can't make an impact in your person without making an impact where you live now. That's my prayer, that you will be making an impact here before you try to make an impact in person. And as we play the song, as we go into time of prayer, I want you to think about that. Maybe you're here this morning and say, no, I haven't done enough here where I live. And I need a song. Maybe I need to get right with Jesus. I pray that maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know, I'm doing it right here, but I think God has started to call me to make more of an impact. Maybe it's not just my person. Maybe it's somewhere else. Wherever God's calling you, how beautiful we are to be. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you for your love and your mercy, God. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your vision, your mission, God. To go into outermost parts of the world, to make disciples, teaching all to observe all that you commanded. That God, you will be with us to the end of the age, to the end of this world. Lord, we pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as a Lord and Savior, that today will be that day that they've had that divine appointment with you. Or maybe there's someone here today that is saved, but they haven't been doing much for your kingdom. That they will start this morning and have a sense of urgency to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That everybody here this morning can say, how beautiful are we, because we proclaim the gospel. Lord, we love you with that. In Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Difference between saying you're part of a family and being part of a family, amen? You say you're part of a family, but you're really part of a family when somebody asks you to move and you help them move. Isn't that the truth? Or when somebody needs some help and you step up and help them. And so we have a blessed way that we can be able to help and support this missionary as part of our mission march, and maybe some of you individually would like to help support him and his family too. And so great work that will be happening in McPherson. Looking forward to those things in the future for sure.